couldn't even dress himself. He was so sick. He leaped over a couple people to get to me to lay hands on me. Down at the altar, man, it was rocking. We were having a Holy Ghost party. He leaped over a couple people that had fallen out of the Spirit to lay hands on me. And the dude was strong. When he gripped my shoulder had been gripped. God healed that boy. He got good and healed. But he had to go through a process to get there. I'm so glad he didn't shortcut that.
He kind of had to wait a while for his healing.
Yeah. How about that? Wow. But also, before we move away from Epaphroditus here, look why he got sick. A couple verses down, Philippians 2:29, it says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem." Verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me." So in order to minister to Paul, Epaphroditus risked his life, probably had exposure to the elements. There wasn't a lot of, advanced medical technology. People were getting sick because they were out in the rain and the cold. Risked his life to minister to Paul for the cause of Christ. He got sick because he laid down his life for the gospel. That's probably why Roland Baker got sick. Out in Africa, man. I mean, there's some weird diseases out in Africa. And that's part of what it means to take up our cross for Christ. Is sometimes we will take that risk and go out to where those sicknesses ravage and things like that. And we may get hit. We may get knocked down. We may eat a piece of bad ceviche and fly back home almost, tossing our cookies or munch on a hard, fava bean like I did and knock my tooth out of line and got a gum infection in Peru. We may expose ourselves to all kinds of weird stuff for the gospel of Christ, but that doesn't mean that God isn't delighted and willing and desirous to lift those afflictions off of us and heal us for His glory. Praise God. Now, so there are things that we can do that make us sick, but not only that, check this out. There are sometimes things that we can do that keep us sick. That keep us sick. How many of you guys ever heard of Timothy? All right, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23. And Timothy is often another guy held up as an argument against miraculous healing. 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul said, "Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities." And people will say, well, if God, by that time God had stopped doing signs and wonders and miracles, and if He was still doing it, He would have healed Timothy. But I notice in Scripture that Timothy was a shy, timid man. He was fearful. Dude was scared to death. And I know Timothy's listening up there too, so I won't go. I'll be gracious. I might meet the dude someday. I probably will. And Paul had to remind him over and over to be bold, to be courageous, especially against false teachers. When he confronted the false teachers at Ephesus, he said, be bold, speak the word, preach the word in season and out of season. In fact, he had to remind Timothy at one point that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind or self-control. So even if God had healed Timothy's stomach at some point, if Timothy lived in constant fear and anxiety and inner turmoil, it probably would eventually take its toll on his health. God might heal him on Tuesday, but if Thursday he was still shaking in his boots, up all night worried about what was going to happen to him when he did this thing, that inner anxiety and turmoil might rob him of that healing that God had provided and put him right back in a sick state all over again. So it's not only some things that we might do that cause us to be sick, but there are things that we could do in spite of God's mercy that may keep us sick. If you get diagnosed with a spot on your lung and you go up for prayer and God heals you, but you still smoke like a dragon, two packs a day. 6 months down the road, you might find another spot on your lung. Why? Because you're smoking. Cigarettes cause cancer. If you find yourself in financial dire straits and you don't know what you're going to do, you're going to lose it all. And God miraculously provides some financial miraculous provision that puts you back and you're able to pay all your bills and take care of things, but you still spend money like it's water and use your credit card like it's your, you know, whatever. 6 months later, you might find yourself where? Back in debt? Praise God. If you have a muscular affliction, a sprain or a strain or some chronic tear of the muscle that is giving you tremendous pain, God may graciously heal you of that thing. But you know, we have a skeletal muscular system that needs strength to support itself. And if we never exercise or we never eat right or we don't take care of ourselves and our posture is horrible, after that healing, we may find that we still suffer the results of those degenerative diseases because we are not embracing a healthy lifestyle that will give our body the strength to maintain its own health. God has so designed our body to put systems in our body that maintain our health. One of the first things that happens after a traumatic back sprain or muscle strain is in physical therapy, they'll give you exercises to perform because it strengthens your muscles that support your spine and allows your spine to maintain your body in sort of a healthy condition. And so if we don't avail ourselves of those things, we could find those things taking away the blessing that God gives us. John Wimber himself, in his book, Power Healing, admitted that God had healed him on many occasions. He suffered from heart disease. John was a big man. Big old boy. And he said he knew that he wasn't living right. He knew that he worked too long and he ate too much and he rested too little and he didn't get enough sleep. He didn't get exercise. He was really careless with his diet and his weight kept ballooning and ballooning and ballooning. And even though God had healed him a number of times of the symptoms that were related to heart disease, eventually in the age of 50-something, God took him out. John Wimber died of a massive heart attack. And here was a man who healed multitudes. But you can't simply live without regard to our consequences. The things we do have consequences. And even if God heals us, we have to be stewards of this temple that He's given us to make sure that we don't lose what God has miraculously provided. Now, I'm not... Please, 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 I'm begging you, please... Hear me that I am not saying this in condemnation in any way, shape, or form, or throwing stones or trying to make you feel guilty or anything like that. What I'm trying to do is to instill hope. If you're at a place where you're giving up and say, well, you know, God must not want to heal me because I'm still suffering this pain. What I want to do is implant a seed of hope that maybe it's not because God has put an incurable curse upon your life. That maybe there may be other reasons yet undiscovered that if we pursue in faith and in diligence, we may find that may eventually lead you to a place where you can receive that blessing and fullness of healing that God has for you. And I mean that with all the compassion my heart can muster. This is not to beat up on anybody. We don't need that. We're already beaten far more than we ought to be. I want to impart a vision to go on a journey with me to discover and explore the ways of God and the ways of His kingdom, to discover how we can be more effective in bringing that tearful, joyful, miraculous blessing of relief and deliverance and healing that God wants to give to so many people. Last one. Apostle Paul. Thank you guys. I've been long-winded today. Thank you very much. But I really got to get these in. There's so much here. Last one, the Apostle Paul. Was Paul's thorn in the flesh an eye disease that God refused to heal? Some of you may have wondered that. Probably not. No. I can't imagine, Larry, anybody asking that question. was Paul's thorn in the flesh and eye disease that God refused to heal. 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10. Paul says this, "To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Let me first say that this is a somewhat controversial passage that many Bible interpreters and commentators have come to different conclusions on. And the classic question when you open up a commentary on this passage of Scripture is, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Because not everybody agrees on what it was. Okay? One thing you might observe is that nowhere in this particular passage does it say that this was a sickness per se. The word translated in the King James, infirmities, is here translated in the NIV, weaknesses, and is given different. If you do an English concordance search for everywhere that Greek word is used in the New Testament, it has a couple of different meanings and is used in a couple of different ways. So the passage itself doesn't say that this is concretely a sickness or a disease per se. It does say that it's a messenger of Satan, which just on its own could mean a disease, but it could also be someone who was in opposition to the gospel. It does mention in verse 10 that insults and persecution were some of what Paul had to endure. He says, "I take pleasure in insults, I take pleasure in persecutions, in hardships." So could this be actually, when he's talking about this messenger of Satan, could this actually be a person or people who were out to afflict Paul and destroy his ministry? If you remember in the book of Acts, when we were going through the book of Acts, there were a certain group of Jews that followed Paul from town to town. One time they stoned him so bad that they left him outside the city for dead. And every city he would go to, they would track him down. He'd go to one city, they'd almost kill him. He'd flee that city, go to another city, start doing some miracles, and the next thing you know, those Jews following him showed up again. He had to flee the next city, go to the next one, and they kept pursuing him, trying to take him out of this world. Is it possible that, based on the language he uses here, is it possible that he could be referring to that type of a situation? What's interesting is we let Scripture interpret Scripture in other places in the Bible, the only two other places where the language "a thorn in the side" is used is in the Old Testament, and they have to do with the enemies of God persecuting His people. Isn't that interesting? So if we let Scripture interpret Scripture, a strong argument could be made. I'm not asking you to draw a conclusion today, but a strong argument could be made that he's not actually referring to sickness in this passage at all. He could be referring to those messengers of Satan who are out to take him out of this world. And he asked God to deliver him from it, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And so he started to delight in weaknesses, persecutions, insults, hardships, and difficulties. Kind of makes you scratch your head and go, Now, why would people say that it was possibly an eye disease he struggled with? Well, because in the book of Galatians, he mentions to them that he had an eye problem, an illness when he first preached to them. And he says, "You guys had compassion on me. You would have plucked your eyes out of your own head and given them to me if you could." Galatians is a really bloody epistle, man. I mean, it starts bad and gets worse. If you know what the topic is, I mean, it starts bad, and then he's got them plucking their eyes out of their head for him. But So he did at some point struggle with an illness and a problem in his eyes. But isn't it interesting that Galatians is probably one of the first epistles Paul ever wrote very early in his ministry while the topic of circumcision was still hot among the churches? And in all, if 2 Corinthians doesn't talk about an illness, then even though he wrote about this illness he had in the very beginning, in none of the other epistles throughout the entire New Testament does Paul ever mention an illness again. Is it possible that he had a problem early on with his eyes when he wrote to the Galatians, but God healed him of that, and he never encountered that problem again throughout the rest of his ministry, which is why you don't see it in any of his other epistles? Again, I'm not asking you to make a decision today, but isn't it food for thought? Isn't it food for thought? Praise God. Now, what if I'm wrong? Oh, well, you know, if 2 Corinthians refers to his eyes, well, maybe it's just one more situation where God healed multitudes of people without healing necessarily the person he was working through. You see, that happens sometimes too. Bill Johnson has a ministry where multitudes are healed, but he still wears eyeglasses. But I don't consider that a sickness. I consider that just a part of the aging process. So far, I haven't seen God heal anybody of wrinkles either. Some stuff just happens when you get old, man. I mean, you know, you turn 50 and stuff starts happening. And it's not an illness necessarily. It's just that, you know, this body isn't designed to live forever. That one is still coming. And so as we get older, sometimes stuff happens, you know. And guys who have these incredible healing ministries still walk around with eyeglasses. And I know some of my beloved Baptist buddies back in the day would say, well, why doesn't God heal his eyes? Well, you know, why doesn't God heal wrinkles? Maybe it's because nobody's actually gotten bold enough to ask God for healing in their wrinkles. Maybe, you know, they're embarrassed. They just never occurred to them. Wow, you know, I would love to have, you know, I would love to have youthful skin again. I don't know. Or maybe we just get old. You know, stuff happens. So I don't know. But I think a strong argument can be made, and maybe we should have an open heart and an open mind to consider that maybe God really does want to heal a whole lot more than we give Him credit for. And if we will pursue that in faith, He might just amaze us with what He does through us. Glory to God. All right, I've talked a bunch and I've run out of time. And there's still, you may still have questions coming up in your mind. Well, what about this and what about that? I am delighted, man. Hold on to those questions. Come back next week because we're going to do this again. Starting with the same scripture, we're going to look at the question, if God is willing to heal, why do some people still not get healed? Because frankly, I believe if I can answer that question for you satisfactorily, it will open your heart to a whole world of possibilities of what God is able to do and absolutely willing to do. I think it all boils down to answering that question. So let's dive in. Amen? Praise God.